Well, first of all, tonight, can I say thank you to Reverend McMillan for his kind words of welcome. It is a pleasure to be with you here tonight, to renew fellowship with you, and just to bring a word of testimony and a little wee bit about the work of Every Home Crusade. But first of all, I want to turn to God's Word, and I want to read a few verses here. I'm reading from Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And we're going to break in at verse 32. So Luke chapter 23, breaking in at verse 32. And you will quickly understand once I share a little bit of testimony, the relevance of this scripture here. So Luke chapter 23, I'm beginning to read at verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And his superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And we know that God will bless his reading of his word. For myself, I couldn't hardly believe the opening hymn there tonight. Because my mother used to try to teach me to learn how to play the piano. And her favorite hymn that I was to practice and practice and practice was, He the Pearly Gates Will Open. Well, you didn't know that tonight, but as soon as it struck, that was the first thought that I had. And I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were Christians. I went to church, and everything involved as in a Christian home. And for me, that was a great privilege. Sometimes, young people, as they grow up in Christian homes, they think, oh, what a disadvantage, and I have to do all these different things. But, you know, it was a tremendous blessing. And if you have Christian parents tonight, count it to be a real blessing. But, you know, I can remember one Sunday evening. I wasn't very old. I remember it was a Sunday evening. My father had gone out to a service. My mother, it was a winter's evening, my mother had a nice fire on, and as a child, I got out an old storybook. Well, it was an old storybook with about one picture in every page, and one line of text underneath every picture. It was that type of storybook. It was old, it was tatty, and so on. I'm quite sure I had looked at it many, many times before, but for some reason that Sunday night, I got out this old book. And it was literally a picture, a line, and I was going through this old storybook by myself. And all of a sudden I opened up and I turned to this page, and there was a picture of Calvary. The three crosses. And I just sat and I looked at it as a child. Now, as a child, I had heard the gospel message many, many times. I am absolutely sure. But that night, as I looked at that picture on that old storybook of the three crosses, it suddenly struck me that night, the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. I realized as a child, yes, that I was a sinner, I had done things wrong. Yes, I hadn't been out in the world and I hadn't done all sorts of things that some people might have done. But yes, I knew deep down in my heart, yes, I had wrong in my heart. And I needed my sins forgiven, and I needed to trust Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And very simply that night, I went over to my mother and I said, I want to ask Jesus into my life. And we knelt down together, and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Simply because I had looked at a picture of three crosses, and I understood what Calvary and what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for me. And friends, tonight, you can be here in this service. And you have maybe seen that type of picture as well. You have heard all about Calvary. You have heard about Jesus Christ dying there, shedding his blood. You have heard the gospel message many, many more times than I had ever heard at that young age. And yet tonight, have you ever really looked at the cross and realized that Jesus Christ died for you? Not for the person sitting beside you, not for somebody else, but for you tonight. And has that realization struck home within your own heart? Has the Holy Spirit come and spoken to you at some stage and simply pointed out that you need to trust Jesus Christ to be your Lord and to be your Savior? That you need to have your sins forgiven? If you ever want to be in heaven someday, you need to have your sins forgiven and to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And friends, tonight it is so important that every single one of us here in this service has visited Calvary. That we actually have understood and that we have seen what Jesus Christ did there on Calvary. For me as a child, I simply understood and I simply accepted it and I trusted. I didn't fight it. I didn't leave it. I didn't say no. I didn't push it away. I simply trusted Jesus Christ as a child. And you know, friends, tonight, yes, so often in life, we rebel, we go want our own way, we want to do our own thing, but it is so vitally important that you tonight know that you have bowed the knee at some time in your life and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you haven't done it, then I suggest tonight, make it tonight. Don't delay, don't put it off, don't put it to another time. That night, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart that evening as I looked at that old storybook. And I didn't delay. I simply went and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. You know, many times over the years, people have said to me, well, when did you trust? What age were you? And all that type of thing. And I simply had no idea. I wasn't exactly sure when, looking backwards. But you know, a couple of years ago, I do remember in our area at home, I come just outside Lisburn. And I remember growing up, and I heard many, many times about a series of faith mission missions that took place in our whole area. And at that time, the Holy Spirit moved widely across our area. Many, many people were saved through those faith mission meetings. And I heard about those many times. And a couple of years ago, it was announced that there was going to be an anniversary, a 50th anniversary, of that series of meetings. And actually, one of the faith mission pilgrims that had taken that series of meetings actually ended up marrying my uncle. So I had a connection there as well. And well, they had this particular meeting one night. Many people testified as how they'd got saved and so on all those years ago. And I was at the meeting, and my aunt was there who had been the faith mission pilgrim at that time. And on the way out of the meeting, she spoke to me and she says, do you know when you got saved? And I thought it was a really funny question from my aunt. And I says, well, I know where I got saved. I know all the details about when I got saved, but I don't actually know when I got saved. Well, she says, you got saved on the 3rd of February, 1963, in the middle of those meetings. And at that time, whenever the Spirit of God had moved in our whole area. And funny enough, for 50 years, I had not known that I was actually connected in at that same time. And she had kept a diary of all the people that had got saved, exactly when they got saved. And for 50 years, she had that information I never knew. So, just a little sideline. I went through school. I took my stand as a Christian through school. And then I began, I had studied A-levels. And I decided, yes, I knew exactly what subject that I wanted to study. I knew exactly what university I wanted to go to. I had everything nicely mapped out, exactly what I wanted to do. I had no problems in that field as to what I wanted to do. But you know, strangely enough, through that time, I had never actually, I had been to many missionary meetings. I had plenty of Christian teaching and so on. But it never actually seemed to occur to me that God had a plan for my life and that I should ask God what that plan was and what would God want me to do with my life. And I can remember one night in a meeting, I really can't tell you very much about the meeting, but I can tell you about the closing hymn, because it was just simply as if God put his finger on me and simply said, very simply, I want you to work for me. And that came as an awful bolt out of the blue. It never had occurred to me whatsoever. And this was a complete shock to my system. I had my plans. And here suddenly God was speaking and saying that he had a plan as well. I battled with that plan for a few weeks. And I battled as to what I was going to do. Was I going to do God's will? Or was I going to follow my own plan? And after a number of weeks, I surrendered to God. I said, all right, God, I'll tell you what. I simply prayed, Lord, take away my interests, my desires, and I will follow you. I don't know what you want me to do. I have no idea, but I will do whatever you want me to do. And God did exactly that. He took away my interests. He took away my desires. And I followed him. And friends tonight, especially young people here tonight, I'm simply saying this to you. I'm not saying that God will call you into full-time Christian work. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But what I am saying to every single person, whether it's young or old tonight, we need to have our lives surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ to do whatever he wants us to do. And that might be farming, it might be business, it might be anything. But friends, tonight, every single one of us needs to have and put ourselves in that position. I am surrendered to God for God to take, to use in whatever fashion he wants me to go. Friends, yes, it may be a change. It may be a complete change of direction. But God can speak to every single one of us. But we must be willing. And it's so easy tonight, yes, to have your faith and to say, yes, I am a Christian. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. But to be holding back on God and to be holding back and not surrendering ourselves 100% for God to take us up and to use us in whatever way he would want us to go. I ended up initially, I was, believe it or not, whenever I was in school, I was very quiet, very shy, and so on. And I was advised, first of all, I considered going to Bible college. And some people said to me, well, you really should get a job and work for a little bit of time. And get a job where you meet people. Well, I ended up in Faith Mission Bookshop. Well, that was a place to meet people and have to talk to people and customers and so on. And I can remember being there, I remember working there, and I got a job one day, and I was to price bookmarks, all right? And I had mounds of these bookmarks to price, 1p each, all right? 1p with a pencil on the back of a bookmark, 1p, 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 1p. And I spent hours writing 1p on bookmarks. And I began to think, you know, I've studied and I have done A-levels. And here I am in a bookshop, pressing bookmarks at 1p each. Is this what life has really come to? And that night I went home, and I got my Bible out to have my quiet time. And God simply said to me, if you'll be faithful in the little things, then I'll give you more responsibility later. I remember praying that night, and I said, all right, Lord, if you want, I'll be faithful in the small things, and I'll keep pressing the bookmarks at 1p, and I leave the rest to you. And you can bear that in mind as we move on. Well, I worked in the bookshop for 3 years. If anybody knew the Faith Mission Bookshop at that time, it was a little bit of a mess, and so on. But I enjoyed it, and I just was happy in it. And yet, all of a sudden, I began to feel unsettled. I didn't know why. I just felt unsettled. I prayed about it. I said, Lord, if you want me to move somewhere else, you open the door. If you don't want me to move anywhere else, then just you allow me to settle back and let me carry on as normal and take away this feeling, this unsettled feeling. Well, within a fortnight, I got a phone call one morning. And it was Ernie Allen. And Ernie Allen really didn't know me that particularly well. But he phoned me up and he simply said to me, he said, I bought a printing press and I'm wondering, would you like to come and learn how to print? Well, to be absolutely truthful, I'd never actually seen a printing press running, never mind operate one. But you know, at the same time, the Spirit of God just simply moved my heart and I knew this is it. This is the open door. I didn't tell him that just that immediately, but I knew deep down. And, with a very short space of time, I moved from the bookshop. I started working with Ernie Allen in the Work of Every Home Crusade, and I started to learn how to print. Well, he had bought this little printing press. With a printing press came 3 days training, so that was my apprenticeship. And I was left after 3 days with this machine and trying to learn how to print. And that's how it all started. Now, that's about over 37 years ago. And I've just simply seen the work gradually grow over these years, and seen the work develop and grow. Interesting enough, I was just thinking, over these years, I have been working in four different buildings. So I've seen all those different moves during these years. 6 years ago, we moved into the factory there in Canallan, and I just don't really fancy another move. It was such a big move getting into that factory. But the work has grown in a tremendous way as far as getting gospel literature out and across our world. Last year, in our factory, we used a total of 1,371 tons of paper. A lot of paper. That produced something in the region of 75 million pieces of gospel literature. We're printing literature now in 95 languages. That literature is going out free of charge to many different missionary organizations all across the world. We're now sending literature to about 170 countries around the world. Now I find myself involved in the leadership of that work. And you can begin to understand the responsibility that I have today. Getting God's word out to many of our Christian brothers and sisters dotted all across our world. Now, as our brother has already said, I've had this privilege of traveling, of meeting people, of meeting mission leaders, of meeting church leaders and so on, different parts of the world, developing contacts and so on, as far as getting the literature out and into the hands of people. During December, I had the opportunity of going out to Nigeria. I went out to a conference. It was being held by a Nigerian man called Billy Akane. He basically sees himself as a man to encourage and help Christian workers and so on, pastors and so on. And he has a whole conference center himself, and he runs conferences during the year. There'll be young people's conferences. There'll be all sorts of leadership type conferences during the year. But in December, he holds his big one, his big conference. And that consists of around 40,000 pastors and church workers all attend that conference. They come from all over Nigeria to that conference. It lasts for 4 days. And there are those people come and they are there to hear the word of God preached and taught and so on. It was quite amazing as far as I was concerned just to see, feel, be there at those meetings for those 4 days. And of course, whenever you have 40,000 people there, that means they all have to be fed. They all have to be accommodated. Maybe the accommodation wasn't too hot on it in many respects. But they all had to be looked after for those 4 days. There is no charge whatsoever for those people coming to that conference. Amazingly enough, afterwards it dawned on me that money was never mentioned the whole time that the conference was on in any form at all. So it just gives you a little bit of an idea, this man, Billy Akane. I think of the last day. The last day was Saturday, all right? Now, the meetings started, if you think you've got long services here, when you hear this, the meeting started at 7 o'clock in the morning, all right? The service on Saturday started at 7 in the morning and ran right through to 1:30 in the afternoon. There was no coffee breaks, there was no tea breaks, there was no breaks whatsoever. It just ran from 7 o'clock to 1:30. At 1:30 they stopped, they had a 2-hour break. We started again at 3:30 in the afternoon, and I mean 3:30 sharp. And it's 3:30 through to 7 o'clock in the evening. And another 2-hour break, started again at 9 o'clock at night and ran through to after 1 in the morning. Now, it wasn't just solid preaching, but there was a lot of preaching in it. There was times of prayer, times of praise, mission reports, and so on. But that just gives you a little bit of a flavor as to those people. And they sat there during all that time. They have a bookshop as well. Of course, being literature minded, and this is why I was there, because we're developing a relationship with the people. I actually on the Saturday was asked to speak for a little bit about the literature and so on. And I was amazed afterwards, just the number of people that came to me and asked really, really serious questions about books. Now, for example, we are printing Expository Thoughts on Matthew by Bishop J.C. Ryle. One lady came to me, she says, "You already are printing Matthew, when are you going to print Mark, Luke and John?" You know, so she knew the difference, you know, she knew all about them. Another guy came to me, he says, "I'm looking at a specific book." I don't know if anybody will have heard of this book here. But he says, "I'm looking at a special book on the life of Madame Guyon." Madame Guyon was one of the Puritans, you know. This guy was knowledgeable. He knew exactly what he was after. Many other people were coming, evangelistic literature. Two guys actually came to me and offered to come and work in our factory, and so on. So you get the idea. But you know, that bookshop, it's a big, big bookshop. But I had a guy with me, sort of looking after me and so on, a Nigerian guy. And he wanted to buy something in the bookshop. It took him half an hour to queue just to get just to pay. Such was the queue. I want you to understand at the same time there were 16 checkouts going, all right? And everybody was queuing. But I went back another day, and I noticed this big long line looping all over the place. And I suddenly realized this is the queue for the bookshop. Bookshop already is full, and queues inside the bookshop all trying to get out. And this was the situation. And I remember talking to the guy in charge of the bookshop. And I says, "I have never seen people queuing to buy Christian books. I have never seen people queuing to get into a Christian bookshop." And he simply said this to me. He says, "Our people are hungry for the Word of God." And that summed it up. And that really is the situation in many of the countries that we are sending literature to. I know here at home, people are not interested in gospel literature. But in many of the countries that we are sending the literature to, they are interested. They are absolutely, you know, I've heard and I've seen people actually almost fighting in order to get a gospel literature. The needs today are absolutely enormous as far as gospel literature is concerned. And yes, at this moment in time in our factory, we are using 5 tons of paper every working day. We are shipping out container loads of literature. Every single month we ship a container load of literature to India. That is divided amongst different missions in India. But that literature is always on the move. So if you're in a factory, the chances are you will see some Indian literature being produced. That's roughly 18 tons of literature put into a 20-foot container. And that's heading out to India once a month. We actually shipped one this past week. This incoming week, we are planning to ship containers. Container going to Uganda. Another container will be going to Nigeria that I was already speaking about. In the container that we're going to ship to Uganda, there are 3 million tracts already now, all ready to go into that container. The guy that I'm working with actually sent me a message this morning from Uganda. And he's told me this. He says, as far as Islam is concerned, Uganda is one of its targets. Islam have a 5-year plan in which to take over the whole country of Uganda and make it an Islamic country. At this moment in time, only 7% of the country is Muslim. And yet they plan to take the whole country in 5 years' time. The challenge for us as Christians is immense. The responsibility that we have today is to help our Christian brothers and sisters out there in these countries. They want to evangelize, but they need the material. And this is where we fit in. We need to be helping them with supplies of gospel literature. We have many other openings, opportunities. We have our own depot in the likes of Brazil. There we have the literature. We ship containers. And from there, the literature moves out right across the whole country of Brazil. At this moment in time, that depot has contacts with about 10,000 churches all across Brazil. People looking for supplies of gospel literature. And there they are. They're getting that literature sent out all across the country. You know, I don't often talk about money. If I seen this as a real deputation meeting, I wouldn't talk about, our brother was talking about the provision of the Lord, and it has been something that has been tremendous in our work. To see how God provides and goes before and undertakes. At this moment in time, as far as the finance is concerned for Every Home Crusade, we need £5,500 coming in as gifts every single day of the year. Every single day to keep that whole ministry going forward. 5 tons of paper, all the shipping, all the printed costs, everything. We need £5,500 a day. Mr. Allen, when he set up the work, he set up a very clear principle. And it was very simply this. He said, this is the Lord's work, and the Lord can and will provide as we need. He says, if the Lord doesn't provide the finance, we stop work. We do not go into the red. This is the Lord's work. And as a result of that, that has been the principle that we have ran the work on. We will not go into the red. The principle is, if we go into the red, we stop work. I've been now in the work over 37 years, and not one single day have we ever stopped printing because of the lack of finance. And that is the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God tonight. The Lord has gone before, has undertaken and blessed in a very, very special way. You know, it's sometimes amazing as we look at the situation. You know, we don't know where the money's coming from. People sometimes say, well, you know, some people have all sorts of ideas as to where the money comes from. Some people think it comes from the wealthy American, but I can assure you it's not, because most of it comes from here in Northern Ireland. But, you know, it is amazing how sometimes God does work. I'm going to give you one little story as to just very simply how God works and how God provides finance. And sometimes you couldn't write the stories. You couldn't even dream them up. Just the way things work out. A man one day, he and his wife, they had no family, of their own. Small farmer. He was trying to figure what was he going to do as far as leaving his place. He had nephews, and I think initially he sort of thought, well, I'll leave my little farm and my house to my nephews. And then one day he phoned his friend up, and he said to his friend, I've decided I'm not going to give my place to my nephews. I'm going to give it to a charity. He says to his friend, have you any idea any charities? Well, his friend is a good supporter of Every Home Crusade. And his friend told him about the work of Every Home Crusade. He says, yeah, that'll do just perfectly. He said, do you think you could give me a lift to go into town and visit this listener? I want to write my will. And that's exactly what this man did. He went into town, he wrote his will, and he left his house and his little farm to the work of Every Home Crusade. In due course, the man died, and the place came, and the money came to the work. And just how God can provide is truly amazing, and we thank him for it. At this moment in time in the work, we're planning to get a new printing press. We're actually in the process of buying that at the moment. We're looking forward to that, just in an effort to try and step up the amount of literature that we're producing. We really need to try and push even further to get more supplies of literature out. But tonight, I know that there are people here. You've been praying for us. You've been supporting us. And I want to say thank you tonight. I want to say thank you for your prayers. I want to say thank you for the support that you have given. We really, really value it. We appreciate it. I say that tonight on behalf of the whole team. We value all that you are doing and the way that you have been behind us. And we appreciate it very, very much indeed. So tonight, I just want to say, you know, it's been tremendous just to see how God has gone before. Just as I look at my own life and to see how God has blessed and undertaken, what I see as just picking up somebody that's very weak as such, but how God can take any one of us up, can use us for his honor and for his glory. But thank you for the opportunity of being here tonight. Thank you.